When summer arrives in Wisconsin, a lot of us feel like we have to make the most of it because it doesn't stick around for all that long. And I know on a lot of people's, a lot of listeners' minds is fishing. Fishing's high on the list of priorities. And Gary Engberg certainly is high on his list. He's a professional guide, angler. He's an outdoors writer, an avid conservationist and sportsman. And he advocates a lot for getting kids involved in the outdoors. He blogs at www.GaryEngbergOutdoors.com, GaryEngbergOutdoors.com. And he joins us a few times a year to talk about fishing and other outdoor activities. Always a pleasure, Gary.
Thanks, Larry. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Well, how's the fishing from your perspective so far?
Well, it's really been a goofy year because you know, we had a pretty good winter, and you know, we had a late spring. So most of your, you know, like even northern Wisconsin, you know, most of your lakes up there weren't even open for the opener because they still were full of ice. You just had a lot of smaller lakes open. Down here, things opened up, but everything was kind of behind maybe 2 to 3 weeks, you know, as far as fish spawning, as far as location of fish and most other things. And then finally we've gotten some warmer weather now, and I think things are starting to catch up. Because initially, you know, like opening weekend, there weren't any weeds anywhere, and that's very unusual for the Madison area. I mean, you were probably talking about invasives before and, you know, milfoil and stuff. You know, usually you start getting your warmer weather now, your weeds are growing like crazy. And even for the fisherman who's looking for fish, you know, most of your fishing right now is going to be doing just outside that weed line or in your open pockets you find, and those are your good locations. So things are catching up right now. I think your water temperature is close to 70 degrees on Lake Mendota, which is going to be probably the coldest of the Madison chain. The other lakes are a little bit warmer, but, you know, we're just getting done right now with the bluegills are just getting done spawning, and that's usually a little bit sooner. I've even heard people tell me crappies still have eggs in them. You know, so everything has been delayed and behind, but you know, fishing has been good, has picked up a lot. The Wisconsin River, you know, I live on the Wisconsin River between Sauk City and Mazomanie, and I've been there for 25 years, and this is the first time, the longest period of time I've had high water in the 25 years that I've lived there. I've had higher water, but not for such a long period of time. And, you know, you could take any type of boat there is down the Wisconsin River, where last summer there were places where you could walk across it almost. But it's been flowing real hard. There's a, you know, you can call Lion Energy. They have an 800 number you can call. I think it's 1-800-242-1077. That'll give you what the flow is at the last dam in the Wisconsin River is in Prairie du Sac or Sauk City. Then they give you the numbers for Wisconsin Dells, Castle Rock, and Peatonwell. It's in cubic feet per second. Right now, it's normal. Probably about 4,000 or 5,000 cubic feet per second. It's running about 35,000 right now. I've seen it up to over 50, but every gate is open. It's flowing like crazy, dirty, muddy water. So that's, you know, the river right now, I wouldn't recommend. Lake Wisconsin is, see, Lake Wisconsin, you have so many nice homes on it. They keep that at a main, you know, they maintain the level there. So you'll have more water pushed through the dams to maintain that level. And so you're going to have more flow and more current, but it's been a different year. I mean, it's been, you know, things are just a little bit behind. They're catching up. The Madison chain has been good. The smallmouth bass in Lake Mendota have been fantastic. I know most guys going out now, most of your bass are either your smallmouth are going to be either on the outside edge of your weed lines or out in deeper water structure, you know, Burley Street Bar, Dunn's Bar, where fishing with probably just a, you know, I would be using probably 6-pound test, a good true turn or VMC hook, a leech or a worm. Don't bother with minnows now. They'll die right away on you. And a small float, and that works real well. Or just dragging a small jig, you know, across the bottom real slow. Or plastics work real well. Your new gulp baits, your power baits, your tube baits work real well.
So lots of good information there. Matt in Hadfield has a question for you. Hi, Matt.
Hi, boys. How you doing?
Good, Matt.
Hey, I was wondering, with the guys, we've had some interesting conversations about the best fishing times, you know, that they post for
peak and major and minor.
Yes, sir, and we've had friends that just poo-poo that to death. I was just wondering what you think.
Well, I'll tell you, one thing is that as we do get warmer and things really warm up, I really recommend fishing in low light periods, either fishing very early in the morning or fishing, you know, late just before dark, and fishing even after dark. Earlier in the year, I don't know. I mean, you can, you know, the moon phases does make a difference. Your tides, all those do have effects on fish and what they do. You know, your winds have effect. You know, southwest wind is the best wind I've found around for fishing. And there is something to say about that east wind, about fishing is least when the wind is from the east. But I don't know. I would. It's something I'm not going to base my whole vacation or my whole fishing outing on, because there's always something biting, usually, and depending on where you're fishing. If you're fishing a river, those fish always have to eat every day just to maintain, you know, their body weight at what it is, and you know, they're burning up energy and calories, you know, fighting the current. But you know, everything, you know, there's so many things you can look right now. I mean, a person can map out a nice fishing trip they want by going on the internet, finding out where you're going to go. It can give you contacts. It can give you, you know, information. You can go to the DNR has redone their website, and their web pages are really good and can give you some great information. But take all these things and put them together. Talk to, I'm sure if you call up any guides, they can help you if you're going to a certain area. But, you know, try and get a lot of information before you go to a spot, instead of just going there, you know, cold and putting your boat in and saying, where do I go now?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks kindly. I think I just lost a beer.
Maybe two.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You mentioned guides, and you're a guide, and I've fished with guides and really loved it. But maybe you can talk about what are the benefits from your perspective of fishing with a guide?
Well, ideally, and most guides that I know, you know, I work with five other guys, the Four Lakes Guide Association, and, you know, Wally Banfi, Terry Fry, Tony Puccio, Lee Talkin. We all work together pretty, and Ron Bearfield works with us. And, you know, when you have that many people on the water, you know, you get a lot of information spread around. And the thing you're going to get with a guide is you're going to get someone who should be used to, should know the waters that you're going to fish. I mean, they should be able to. I mean, not everyone catches fish every day. Hiring a guide does not guarantee that you're going to go out and, you know, catch a 50-inch muskie or get your limit of walleyes. But they're going to probably give you the best opportunity to. They're going to have the right type of equipment to use, the right type of balance, type of setups as far as rods, reels, line, what lures are working good. And you know, they can give you a lot of information, you know, show you GPS coordinates, to give you a lot of information that you can transfer and use yourself when you go out. So if you live in an area where there are guides, it's maybe not a bad idea to hire a guide the first few times, or, you know, one time to get, you know, some good ideas, and then go from there and, you know, expound a little bit upon what the guide showed you.
Very good points. And the other thing people ask me or wonder, how much does it cost for a guide? What's the range of
Well, the range probably does vary, but I'd say probably from $250 to $500, depending on
day.
You know, for a day, and you know, that's basically going to be, you know, 7 or 8 hours on the water. You know, equipment, bait. I always bring food and beverages and sandwiches and stuff for people. You know, and anything you need, you don't have to bring anything except, you know, rain gear would be about the only thing that I would recommend people would bring, if, you know, when they come with me. I ask them what they like, if they like to drink water or if they like to drink, you know, tea or pop or whatever. And I usually bring a few sandwiches and a few snacks to bring out on, because when fishing gets slow, you got to have something to do.
Well, you know, another thing that I like about fishing with a guide is storytelling. You know, we have, you know, I tell my stories and he tells his stories.
Well, that's another talent, though, that a good guide has. Yeah. A good guide has to have a good stories, because like you said, like we were saying, I mean, sometimes, you know, you got slow and, you know, slow periods of time where maybe the fish aren't biting. But usually there's no problem with conversation when you have a real good bite going on. But every guide, I mean, I initially, when I was a kid, went out with a guide from Boulder Junction named Porter Dean. And he's kind of well known up there in that area. He didn't wear shoes year round. That's how Porter was. But as a matter of fact, I have a large print of him in my house, wearing my Wisconsin letter jacket. And Porter was a great guy, taught me a lot. And that was part of it. I mean, part of it is just going out and you know, if you catch, you know, you catch some fish, you get enough fish to have a good meal, and the things that you learn, a guide should also be an educator. I mean, a guide should know a lot of things. They should know about the different species of fish. They should know, you know, what they eat. They should know the areas they like to hang out. And then also, too, that transfers over the equipment you're going to be using.
Absolutely. And this is really a lot of fun. And I've been lucky, and I've been productive every time I've been out with the guide. So that's a good thing, too. Gary Engberg, our guest today, professional tournament angler, fishing guide, avid conservationist, and sportsman, our guest as we talk about summer fishing in Wisconsin. Do you have a question about where to fish or where to go or what baits to use or the fish, the species of fish itself? I hope you'll join in. Or maybe you got a story to tell. That'd be another good thing. If you got a good fish story, we always love to hear that. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And we'd certainly love to hear from you.
Larry, the old days, too, when you hired a guide, part of it used to be the old shore lunch deal, and we've talked about that. I mean, that was part of the whole going out for the whole day. You know, you'd hopefully have some nice walleyes or whatever, or even northerns, and he'd fillet them up, and you know, he'd cook them in a good old cast iron skillet with some potatoes and some baked beans and a little bit of bread, and that would make a wonderful meal. And we've talked about that in the old days about our friend from Boulder Junction who passed a few years ago, Tom Holatz, and he said the most important thing was you had to drain your fish and your potatoes on that Chicago Tribune.
Oh, man, I miss him. We had a lot of fun with him, didn't we?
Yeah, we used to be on the air together sometimes.
Oh, yeah, those were some great stories, I'm telling you, that you guys would kick back and forth. Jack in Green Bay has a question. Hi, Jack.
Yes. I was wondering about those black spots that you see on panfish and perch on some inland lakes. Are they a concern? Can you eat the fish? What are they?
I think it's a virus, and you will find them a lot of times. You'll find them on bluegills, I think, more than crappies or perch. I don't have any problem eating fish that have monum because you make sure you clean the fish good and just flick them off, and you'll have no problem if you fillet your fish right. And just make sure that you take them off. They're not going to hurt your fish, and they're not going to hurt you.
No, and frankly, even if you don't get them all off, you're
cooking
them.
Yeah, you're cooking them, and there's not going to be any problem.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. And Frank in Parade of Sheen. Hi, Frank.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey,
great.
Frank.
Just wanted to promote Southwest Wisconsin over here by the Mississippi and where the Wisconsin comes in, and let people know that we have an abundance of real good trout streams around here, too.
You have some great ones. I have a friend who lives out in the Richland Center area named Len Harris who fishes a lot of the Vernon County, Crawford County, Grant County streams, and some of the trout he comes up with are amazing.
Yeah, absolutely great fishing in that part of the state. Frank, thanks.
Yep.
Yeah, appreciate the call. And you may have a question or a comment as well, and again, I hope you'll join in. I've got Mary in Palmyra coming up next. But there's an open line for you, again, at 1-800-642-1234. Love to see some photos, too. By the way, we have a photo of an albino, or actually a movie video of an albino deer on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. So you can go take a look at that. Click on it, and we'll talk about it after the news. We're taking a look at the great summer fishing opportunities that we have here in Wisconsin. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Gary Engberg is a professional tournament angler and fishing guide. He's an avid conservationist and sportsman. Works a lot with getting kids involved in the outdoors, and he blogs. He's got a blog at GaryEngbergOutdoors.com, and we have a link to that his work on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. So it's GaryEngbergOutdoors.com. Or if you don't remember that, just go to my Facebook page and we'll put it up. Okay, we have it up. Judith, as always, has got it up for us and ready to roll. Yeah.
Talking about kids, Larry, the Madison's has the O'Hara Fishing Club, which has been in existence since 1945, and they do a lot of wonderful things. And a couple weeks ago, they had their kids' fishing day at Warner Park. They have one in the spring, early summer, and then they have one in the winter. And they had over 400 kids. They gave rods and reels to all of them. Got to fish. They've stocked the Warner Lagoons there, and they got to catch a lot of fish. Served them a hot dog lunch. Greg Karch, who's a member of the National Professional Anglers Association, which I am, NPAA, gives a fantastic basic seminar to the kids and parents. And those are some of the things. But the O'Hara Fishing Club, if someone wants to get involved in fishing or anything, go to a meeting. They're the first Tuesday of every month over on the VFW over on Lakeside Street. Great group of guys.
And Mary in Palmyra, we turn to you. Hi, Mary. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, thank you. I have a question regarding fly fishing. I'm very much interested in learning to do it. I've never done it. But my question is, before I invest in a lot of money for all of the supplies for that, where could a person go to try it out to see if, you know, you really want to pursue it and mm-hmm. then, you know, get deep into it?
Yep.
I'd probably do some searching, you know, Googling.
There's a great organization called Trout Unlimited, and there are, you're in the Palmyra area, I'm sure
there's a chapter there.
There's a chapter there. Just go online to Trout Unlimited, look that up, and what you'll have there are a whole bunch of men and women who fish for trout, and probably, I bet 90% of them are using fly fishermen. So.
And you can also, a real good website is called A Stream of Time. It's by a guy named Len Harris, who's a trout fisherman out there in that southwest Wisconsin area. And he also has a book out, Len Harris is his name. And it's I would recommend reading it or getting a hold of him. And he's a great teacher, too. And I'll tell you, during the Madison Fishing Expo that they have in the end of February, they'll always have some speakers, and so they'll have some fly fishermen and trout fishermen. That's a good idea to talk to. But if you talk to or call up and, you know, look for guides or talk to, like I said, Len Harris, these people probably, would be glad to help you out. I mean, it's kind of hard to find places. There's not anyone that I know of where you can, try out a rod and reel. And also, too, this summer, if you go to your Orvis fly fishing shops, they have some clinics all summer.
Yes.
And that would be worth looking to, because I know that there's on the west side, there's an Orvis shop. So it's Orvis. I'd give them a call.
That's another really good advice.
And then there's a Fly Fishing Federation, too, is another one. But, between that and Trout Unlimited, they're looking for members and they want to help people.
Oh, wonderful. And then just one other quick question. Does if a person is smaller, I'm quite a small person, is it going to be more difficult for a smaller person?
No,
not at all.
No?
Not at all.
Okay.
It's fly fishing is a lot in your wrist and in your arm, and size makes no difference.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you so much.
Have fun, Mary. Thank you very much for calling.
Let us know how you do.
Well, yeah, call back. I want to know if you learn how to fly fish and catch some fish. I kind of learned out on a boat in the middle of Black Lake in northern Wisconsin. It was the first time I ever handled a fly rod where I didn't have any trees or anything overhead or out in the middle.
Well, I see guys now that are coming down the Wisconsin River, not now with the high water, but in the, like the West Coast drift boats. And, where they'll have a guy, guy will be manning the oars and the other guy will be, fly fishing. And, they're doing that here now.
Yeah, it was amazing. And that little Black Lake, I can remember, I was practicing and I caught a bluegill, and I'm sort of bringing it in, and a muskie comes and takes the bluegill. And of course, he let go eventually.
There's an excellent fly fisherman who has a sporting goods store in Eagle River. His name is George Langley, and he used to, matter of fact, live in Monona, but he's been up north for probably 25, 30 years, and he's a fly fisher. Fly fishes for muskies.
Yeah, a lot of guys do it. Jim in West Salem. Hi, thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I guess, just kind of venture into the fly fishing in Wisconsin, and I guess to answer Mary's question, too, as far as, you know, for a smaller person, you probably won't get hurt. You probably won't get, very, very tired unless you're fly fishing for tarpon or something like that, so, which is a fish that's probably going to be bigger than her, but... I'm actually the president for Cooley Region Trout Unlimited over in La Crosse area.
Cool.
And, thanks
for calling.
Just a few questions. But, you know, I guess comments mainly on the in the fly fishing scene in Wisconsin. And, I guess the Cooley Region, we have 22, 23 clubs around the state of Wisconsin as far as Trout Unlimited. And, just in our area, the Cooley Region, the Driftless area, we have La Crosse and Vernon and Crawford and Juneau and Richland counties that we're kind of in charge of. So, and stream restorations and things like that. And right now, I mean, in the Midwest, and a lot of people will definitely argue, and I certainly will argue that over the beer, that we in Wisconsin probably have some of the best fly fishing right now in this country.
Yeah.
And believe it or not. And we are actually, we were voted, Wisconsin was, voted just this last year as the top Trout Unlimited club in this country also.
The Black Earth Creek, which is a good stream in our area here, is only a couple miles from my house. And I'm amazed at that in Mount Vernon, some of the trout that are brought out of those streams.
Oh, yeah. And like I say, we're actually holding in September in Madison the national meeting for Trout Unlimited. This is the very first time in the state, in our state, that we're going to hold anything like that. So we're as a state, we're getting really a good national recognition of as far as Trout Unlimited and as far as fly fishing and kudos to the DNR in working with them as far as the budget, of course, and getting cut a little bit, and things like that. But we're kind of sustaining as far as the trout stamps, a lot of the fisheries and the restoration parts of things, and working a lot with the landowners and things like that, just to really restore a lot of these natural streams that can definitely sustain a lot of trout. So.
And on top of it, it's such a beautiful area, too, right now, because this year, with the ample rain we've had, the vegetation is pretty lush, so are the mosquitoes, but you can't get a more beautiful area than some of the streams in southwest Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Thanks, Jim.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call. Appreciate the call very much. Yeah, Trout Unlimited. It's a great organization. Travis in Cumberland, it's your turn. Hi, Travis.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Great.
Hey, Travis.
All right, fantastic. I just was wondering if you guys could talk a little bit about what you've seen change in the last 30 years with, the invasive species, and I talk about climate change a little bit and how the lakes have changed. And if you could talk about the quantity and the quality of the fish that you're seeing now compared to what we would have seen 30 years ago.
I'll tell you, in a lot of if talking about just Wisconsin itself and maybe some of the other states in the Midwest, I think that the DNR in Wisconsin has done an excellent job. I think, people travel all over the United States and Canada to go fishing, but, I mean, some of the fishing we have just here in Wisconsin is about as good as anywhere. I mean, you're talking about up in, the Bay of Green Bay up there, you got a 55-inch minimum now on muskies.
Yeah.
You have a fantastic walleye population. The smallmouth, they just had a big smallmouth tournament at Sturgeon Bay a couple weeks ago, and just, I think, to make the top 10, your fish had to average over 5 pounds. Locally in our Madison area, they do a lot of studies on the lakes here and a lot of work on them. We have good pan fishing. We have good walleyes, good smallmouth. There's 50-inch muskies in the shadow of the state capitol. Overall, I think, because I remember when I was I spent a lot of time up in Vilas County when I was young, and I remember the walleye size minimum was like only 12 or 13 inches in those days.
Yeah.
And like on the Wisconsin River now, it's 18 inches. And I think slot sizes, anywhere they've put them in, have been very, very good and help fisheries. And overall, I mean, we've had problems. We have problems now with zebra mussels, with spiny water fleas, with a lot of the different invasives, Eurasian milfoil. But overall, I think our fishing is is better than it was.
Yeah, certainly the muskie fishing, I think, is...
And people have taken the catch and release, too.
Yeah,
I mean, people are
muskie.
Not everyone, you know, not everything is always table fare. People let smallmouth go. People let big walleyes go. People let muskies go. You know, they're, you know, on a lot of lakes now, and like in Minnesota, they've the walleye numbers might be down, so now they're encouraging people to take more smallmouth and more and smaller northerns. So.
Yeah. So
that's great.
Yep, thank you very much for calling, Travis. Appreciate the call. So, well, you know, you mentioned Lake Mendota. I was talking to Jay Rath about fishing, and you know, a friend of mine and I went out on Lake Mendota. We caught 11 species of fish in an afternoon.
Yeah.
I mean,
Lake Mendota has, I mean, the smallmouth have really taken on in so many different areas. And there's, I mean, very, very good smallmouth. I mean, 5-6, you know, pounders here in that Sturgeon Bay tournament I was talking about, Larry, a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
8.5-pound smallmouth.
Whoa. Oh, boy. I did not. I had no.
You know, maybe our perch numbers, we don't have the perch like we used to, or at least the size perches we did, but most other species, you know, bluegills, crappies, and go right on down the line are very good.
Dan is a new fisher person, and he's looking for a good book to help him learn. Man.
Well, I'll tell you one thing you could do is, they have books out. They also have a lot of CDs, videos out. Go to Lindner Media. It's Al Lindner and his family who started in Fisherman initially. Now they have their own company called Lindner Media Productions. They put out some fantastic CDs where you can learn a lot on basics, on different species. And also, too, if you go to their website, constantly, and I mean every week, they're using YouTube and putting on, you know, 2-3-4 minute little, you know, shorts that'll help you out a lot. And what you can find now on the internet and on YouTube and different social media can really help you in your fishing. But I would go to their website. You know, they have a lot of different books, and they've gone to, you know, CDs and a lot of different things now, but that would be a good place. In Fisherman itself is still in business. They're very good. Their magazine is excellent. You can find all the information you want, I think, just at your fingertips.
That's a very good question, Dan. Thank you. A Facebook question from Roger. How does the high water on a river affect fishing? I hear, no need to go fishing if the water's way up. Is this true? Fish still eat during high water, don't they?
Yep. Dan, I'll tell you what the thing about high water fishing, the thing is mainly is going to be your location. And when your water gets very high like it is now in many of the rivers, you want to fish in very, very shallow and in tight. You want to find your slack water areas where there's very little or any. The fish don't want to be out in the strong current where they got to, you know, they're fighting, you know, and burning up energy just to, you know, maintain. They're going to be very, very shallow. A lot of times, like if I'm fishing walleyes in high water, I'll be in, you know, into the brush and into the flooded, you know, flooded areas, and that's where your fish going to go because that's where the bait fish are. That's where their forage is, and they're going to go wherever, you know, they can get a free meal. Those little, you know, whatever they're eating on, whether it's small game fish of the year or a different type of minnow, those are going to be in shallow too, so that's going to bring your bigger fish in, and there is always a bite in shallow water. Whether you're wading or fishing from a boat, you just got to get in tight, use a weedless jig, or sometimes even go to a lot like a bass fisherman would fish, use a heavier jig and a little stronger line, and you'll do well.
Mm-hmm. And, here's a guy that knows a little about musky fishing, Dave in Augusta. Hey, Dave.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just want to kind of go over again about what was said about muskies catching and release. If you get a muskie, make sure that your hands are wet when you take it out of the net for photos. And remember, that fish can only survive as long as you can hold your breath without air. So, I mean, 30 seconds at the very most out of the water.
Well, that's why you really want to try and leave that fish in your net or your cradle, you know, as much as you can. And you want to make sure.
But, you know.
Leave, like you said, you know, make sure your hands are wet so you don't leave your fingerprints on the fish and take away some of their protective coating. Don't hold the fish, you know, vertically up and down. Make sure you're supporting it and take that picture as fast as you can and get that fish back. And also, once the water temperature gets in the upper 70s, 80 degrees, don't fish muskies.
Yep. That's
exactly.
Very...
Don't even take them out of the water. Exactly. And let me tell you what, guys, and Gary probably and Larry knows this too. There's no better feeling in the world than bringing in a topwater bait back to your boat and looking behind the bait
and see one following it
with his, seeing your muskie with his head out of the water snapping at your bait. That happened to me last year. Absolutely wonderful.
Many times, the explosion you get, and you need, whether they get hooked up or not, I'll tell you, your heart starts right. beating.
You bet. And thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And Dave makes a really good lure too. He's an artist, and frankly, the lure he gave me a lure, and it's one I wouldn't use because it's so pretty. It's one of those. It's more like it should be up on
that's
a wall.
That's like my friend Russ Smith, who's Minocqua, has Smith Bait Company, makes a collector's lure. It's a long bait. It's probably 18 to 20 inches long. He makes 100 of them at Christmas time. And I have, I think, 27 of them hanging on my fireplace. Never been used. They could be, but
you don't want to use them. Well, that's really cool. Andy and Wanek, you should take a picture of that and put it up on my Facebook page. I'd like to see those lures.
They're beauties.
Andy and Wanakee, hi.
Hey. A long time ago when I was young, I used to fish a lot, the Limonoir River, Yellow River, Baraboo River, and up near Fall Creek. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if those lakes and rivers ever came back.
Well, the Yellow River still is one of the largest areas where your walleyes are going up and spawn in the spring. They go up in those marshes up in the Yellow River, and a lot of those fish will filter back, into the different other rivers and Lake Winnebago and every other. But the Yellow River is still Baraboo River. They've removed all the dams on that, so that's a free flowing river now for I think 80 or 100 miles. Initially, they had. When they had dams and even these little mill dams that were still on it, they think, including minnows, there was like 8 or 10 different species of fish, and now you're talking about 60, 70 different species of fish. And that, the confluence a little farther down, from Baraboo, it runs into the Wisconsin River, and that's an excellent spot to fish for catfish, by the way. But, no, the Baraboo River is gotten better, and it's gotten a good population of smallmouth, good population of catfish, and you also got walleyes and saugers, too.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks, Andy. Appreciate it. And let's go to Daniel in Minong. Hi, Daniel.
Hello. I'm old enough to remember the days of no concern about mercury contamination. Have the mercury levels in Wisconsin fish stabilized? Does the state advise not eating larger, older predatory fish because of mercury levels?
There still are advisories on many fishes and on many species of fish, and also too, and on many different waters and on any fish. Lake Michigan right now, matter of fact, other people, we haven't talked about Lake Michigan, but the fishing is fantastic there. And if someone wants to go out and have a great time, rent a charter captain and go out for a half a day or a day there, because out of Racine, Kenosha, McKinley Park, and Milwaukee, they're doing fantastic. But on those big fish, you always cut out the belly on them, too, to take out, especially the older fish gets, they're going to accumulate more of those PCBs and more of those contaminants you don't want. And that's why, I prefer to eat, if I'm on my river, they got to be 18 inches. If I go the other side of the dam in Lake Wisconsin, they only have to be 15 inches. I would just as soon get some 15 to 17-inch fish if I was going to have table fare.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, the bluegill and that are always fine. You're not going to have...
We've had those mercury problems for a long time, and I don't think they're going to go away. You just have to... It's also, too, you're not eating fish 5 days a week, too. I mean, one meal, two meals a week are going to be okay.
What do you got up on your blog now?
Oh, we got a little bit of everything up. I had I've had a couple stories up about, this is a real good time to take children out fishing because... You still can catch a lot of species of fish from shore, and the most important thing with taking children fishing is not what you're catching. The last thing you want to do is take them out with dad walleye fishing all day where you get one or two bites. Take them out where they're going to get something. It can be carp. It can be bullheads. Just something tugging on that line, and they'll get excited. Also, make sure you take your kids out. Bring a few other, you know, if fishing is slow, skip some stones, you know, have a go out, you know, play some games, you know, bring some little snacks and do other things, you know, to keep their attention. Because you don't want to turn them off initially when you get them out in the boat. You want them to catch fish, have something pulling on that line, and have a good time so they want to go out again.
Yeah, it's a very, very good advice. And have you got any fishing tournaments or anything coming up for you?
No, I didn't. I've been a little banged up, so I haven't been able to fish as much. I got a couple. I'm going to be fishing over on Lake Winnebago, and hopefully I'm going to fish up on Sturgeon Bay later on in the year, too. So I'm just kind of recovering, so I haven't been too active. The Mercury Nationals was a couple weeks ago. To tell how the fishing's improved in Wisconsin, when I was fishing full-time tournaments, you were happy on Lake Winnebago to get 15- and 16-inch fish. Well, now they just had, like I said, the Mercury Nationals. You had to catch fish that were 20, 22, 24 inches. So they've done fantastic over there. So, I mean, fishing, we have a good DNR, and they work real hard, and the fishery here is as good as you'll find.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Gary. I want to thank you so much for coming by. Gary's had no electricity in the house. And
I got trees down. I got water everywhere. No computer. So if you're looking at my blog and you don't get on it, come back, because I'll have to see when I get home what's really happening.
Thanks again, Gary. We'll have him back. Gary Engberg, our guest, and he will be back. Tomorrow at 11, chemistry professor Bassam Shakashiri talks about the science behind fireworks, and then Don Stanley shares what's new in the world of social media. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.